I'm going to be speaking to Dr. Ephraim Zuroff. He's the former CEO of the Simon Wiesenthal Center in Israel. He's also known as the last Nazi hunter. And I'm not asking the question, what is anti-Semitism? I'm asking, when is anti-Semitism? There was a concert in Croatia 2 weeks ago. This band called Thompson, or this performer called Thompson. 600,000 people did the Sieg Heil at the same time. So what is that? Is it anti-Semitism if somebody's doing it for a reason other than against Jews? I don't know, but I need help understanding that. That's coming up in a couple of minutes. That's Dr. Ephraim Zuroff. Then we've got Sport with Louis Karpus. I'm also going to be talking about speaking to Stephen Groost for the South African Institute of International Affairs. There was a report put out about the relationship between Iran and South Africa. We're going to be unpacking that in a way that it's palatable, in a way that it's understandable. It's a very long report, it's very deep, but we're going to be talking about it, all the points that you need to know, all the really, really significant points. So that's coming up. And then if there's time, before 6 o'clock, I'm going to be speaking to Elchanan Pupko, who is, he's a writer, he's an educator, he's 11th generation rabbi, and we're going to be talking about the United States withdrawal from UNESCO. You heard George talking about how President Trump has ordered that the United States will be removed from UNESCO, citing their bias and their... So anyway, so what's your thought on that? Anyhow, if we aren't able to get Rabbi Pupko today, then we will do it tomorrow. But let's see how we go. Right now, though, let's talk to the world's last Nazi hunter. Dr. Ephraim Zuroff, he's the former CEO of the Simon Wiesenthal Center in Israel. And Dr. Zuroff, welcome. And when is anti-Semitism? We know what it is, but when is it? Is it now?
When is it?
Yes.
When people attack or harbor an enmity towards the Jewish people, towards the state of Israel, and everything that represents Judaism.
Dr. Zuroff, 2 weeks ago, there was that concert in Croatia. And 600 or 500,000 people stood up and, the artist was Thompson, and they all did the Sieg Heil. Was that anti-Semitic?
They may not know it that they're anti-Semitic, but that's undoubtedly an anti-Semitic occurrence.
Why?
This is the equivalent of Sieg Heil, the,
yes,
Nazi, or Heil Hitler, either, yes, one, take your choice. And it's not surprising because Thompson, or Marko Perković by his real name, is tremendously... he wants to glorify the Ustasha. Now, just to explain to our listeners, the Ustasha were a terror organization which started in Croatia in 1929. And when the Nazis and the Italians defeated Yugoslavia and took over the country, they created something called the Independent State of Croatia and turned it over to the Ustasha. In other words, it would be equivalent to turning over a country to Daesh or to Hamas or to any of these horrible terror movements. And the problem from the perspective of the Ustasha was that the territory that they received, which was what's today Croatia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, and a small piece of Serbia, had large numbers of the people that they hated. So they launched three genocide campaigns, one against the Serbs, one against the Jews, and the third against the Roma, the Gypsies. And they murdered thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of these people, as well as the anti-fascist Croatians. There were some anti-fascist Croatians, and they are real heroes in what happened in World War II.
Now, you said, you know, if somebody's making the Heil Hitler sign, but they don't know that it's anti-Semitic, is it still anti-Semitic?
Of course it is.
Why?
Because many other people know that it's anti-Semitic.
But if the person themselves doesn't have any ill will towards Jews specifically, because anti-Semitism is specifically towards Jews. I'm just trying to make sense in my own mind. In the, you know, when is anti-Semitism? Because if I can say quite honestly and frankly, sometimes people claim that something is anti-Semitic when it isn't. Sometimes people do behave badly and they can claim that it's anti-Semitism when in actual fact it's not. What's your thought?
First of all, if it's perceived by other people as anti-Semitism, it's anti-Semitism, even if they don't have that intention. And I think it's quite simple to be able to identify it.
Okay.
It's against Jewish people.
Yes.
It's against the state of Israel. It's against the existence of the state of Israel. As far as they're concerned, Jews don't deserve or don't need a national homeland. This is after the Holocaust, where the lesson was exactly the opposite, of course.
Right. So, knowing what you know, you know, we refer to you as the last Nazi hunter, because for a while it seemed like your job was done. Do you still think that it's done?
It's not done, but
look at what's happening in Australia. Look what's happening in Australia with the Nazi and the neo-Nazis. How can you say your job is done?
The work that I did focused on individuals who during the Third Reich were helping the Nazis, participating in mass murder of Jews. And what we're seeing now is anti-Semitism. It's not something for Nazi hunters to take care of. I mean, the truth of the matter is that the responsibility lies with the governments of the places where these people live. Now, as during the past year and a half, four books were published, actually fabulous books were published, all in English, about post-Holocaust prosecution. And in one case by Germany, and the other three books were on Anglo-Saxon countries. In other words, a book on Australia, a book on Britain, and a book on the United States.
Yeah.
And the only country which could even show its face, I would say to you, is the United States, which won cases against, at least until now, 109 Nazi war criminals whom they had admitted erroneously, but they were prosecuted, they were stripped of their citizenship and or deported from the United States. But in Australia, there were three trials, not a single conviction. In England, only one conviction. And we're talking about countries that admitted hundreds, in some cases thousands, of Nazi war criminals. And then there was New Zealand, for example, who refused to take any action. And they're the only ones who did not pass laws which would enable the prosecution of Nazi war criminals. And they had quite a few there, too, less than the United States, which admitted 100,000, and less than Britain and Australia also, who admitted thousands. But how do you justify a thing like that? That's so terrible, and it's so insulting to the victims of the Holocaust.
Sure.
And to their loved ones.
Sure. And what about the living people that are experiencing it today as well?
You know, what? Excuse me? What about what?
What about the living people who are going through that and experiencing it today, right? Perfect example.
Listen, they're not experiencing
Hamas.
They're not experiencing the Holocaust. Very far from it.
And I don't know. I'm thinking that the victims of the 7th of October might disagree with
that. Listen, this is not the Shoah. Get it out of your minds. This is not the Shoah. This is belittling the Shoah. You're talking about an incident, a tragedy, and indeed a horrible massacre that took place. But this is a one-day thing, and it's limited. And the people who were guilty of the crimes have already either been killed by Tzahal or are rotting in Israeli jails.
The outcome is different. The outcome is different, but the hatred is the same.
No, the idea, listen, they thought that they're going to conquer Israel, okay? That's what they thought. So they thought, when people talk to me about genocide, for example, I say you have to use the three I's. The three I's are intention, implementation, implication. In other words, their intent, they would have loved to destroy the state of Israel and kill all the Jews. So the intent was there, okay? But the implementation was nowhere near anything that happened during the Shoah. And the implications are the same. The state of Israel is alive and well, is defeated, on the verge of defeating the Iranians, and they're doing a fantastic job in that respect. And we're destroying the nuclear sites in Iran with the help of the United States. And there's absolutely no comparison. There were no B-52s bombing Auschwitz or any other of the Nazi concentration camps.
I think that this is an ongoing conversation, and maybe one day I'll get to convince you. You're the expert. You're the last Nazi hunter, and your words certainly carry weight with me. So thank you very much.
We have to be careful. We have to be very careful. I'll give you again quick examples.
Okay, it's got to be a quick one because we actually are out of time.
The story of Srebrenica.
Yes.
Srebrenica was supposed to be a haven for Muslims to be safe from the Serb troops in the wars of Yugoslavia in the 90s. Now, there were 33,000 people there, and only 6,000 were killed because the Serbian troops did not touch all the women, all the children, all the old men, and anyone who was a non-combatant.
What do you mean only?
They wanted to be called a genocide, which is ridiculous.
But why do you mean only? 6,000 people is a lot of people.
Okay, that's why. It's a war crime. It's a tragedy. I'm not belittling it, but that is not genocide. The Serbs could have murdered everybody.
Yeah, I hear it. Dr. Ephraim Zurov, thank you very, very much. Keep up the good work and sharing your ideas. Dr. Ephraim Zurov is the world's last Nazi hunter. He's the former CEO of the Simon Wiesenthal Center in Israel.